Omar Alvarado of theparadiddler.com, the blog for all things drumming. Thanks for tuning in. Today we have a special interview, something that I haven't done before because this is a blog about drums. But as we all know, a drummer doesn't usually play by himself many times or practically every time. He's playing in a band. And obviously there's a lot of things that make up playing in a band. If we're talking about rock, for example, you have the guitar, the bass, possibly keyboards, and the drums. So I wanted to take a different slant, a different perspective, and present that to you guys, the viewers. And today we have a special guest. He's someone that I've known for 41 years, well, basically all my life. He has a very great guitar collection that I wanted to present to you, and he has a few interesting stories about them. And that was basically what I wanted to do, is to bring another aspect of music that is not just about drums, but it's about the other aspects as well. So with me today is Chris Alvarado. How you doing, Chris?
Greetings, Omar.
Good to have you here.
Good to have you here.
Well, thank you. There's been, you know, a lot of things that we've discussed over the years, obviously, and there's a lot of things that you haven't told me because you always have something new. Every time I come visit you down here in Florida, this is a new story. But we'll get to your guitar collection in a bit, which is quite impressive. And there will be a lot of pictures of his guitars up on the website when this interview is done. But Chris, why don't you tell me a little bit about how you got started playing guitar and what inspired you initially about it?
Sure. Interestingly so, I actually did start on the guitar. I was actually a saxophone player. I played saxophone in my elementary school days. And I did have a cousin that grew up in around that hippie era, you know, mid-60s to late-60s in New York, and he was a very, very avid folk guitarist, and he would come over to our house. He's our older family member, and, you know, I would watch him. I loved my saxophone, but I actually loved to see him playing guitar and how much fun he had actually playing, and he, you know, you saw the fun that he was having. And I'm like, I want to have that kind of fun also. Mm-hmm. And he's the one that inspired me to actually pick up the guitar, which I did one day. I actually went and bought a guitar, a classical guitar. I worked hard, bought it myself, and watching him, and voila. All of a sudden, next thing I know, I put the saxophone down. Sorry, sax. And I started playing. I actually started on a classical guitar.
Yeah. So, but I do remember that, at least when I was younger, you were in a band, I think it was in middle school, you were actually the saxophone player.
Absolutely.
Did you want to play guitar?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know what? My friend that played the guitar, he just looked so cool. And all the girls liked him, too. So, and I was playing the saxophone, so for some reason, I didn't think it was that exciting. I had lots of fun playing the saxophone in the band. Yeah. And I remember, actually, the song we were playing, Do You Think I'm Sexy by Rod Stewart. I did the saxophone part to that, and but you know what, the guitars got all the girls, and at that time I was young, single, and I'm like, I want to be like him.
Plus our family relative inspired you to play as well, besides wanting girls.
Besides, you know, the rock, you know, the old rock stereotypical why you want to play music, actually I really enjoyed watching him play, and to the point that I started off singing with him, just joining him just to sing with him, and then he said, hey, why don't I teach you a couple chords, and you can, you know, play along with me. And that's how it all started, basically.
Okay, so over time, you know, you got into it more. So what styles of music most interest you or maybe come more easily to you, what you like to play?
Well, you know, I know you'll appreciate this. Growing up in Massachusetts, we were big Kiss, Led Zeppelin, Aerosmith, Rush. That's what we grew up listening to. Although we are, our parents are from the Dominican Republic, and they're used to a lot of different type of guitar playing. That's more of a Latino, not Mexican, not that kind of mariachi, nothing like that. More like finger picking guitar using classical guitars. We were exposed to that, but we were actually, you know, we were drawn to the actual classic rock music that, you know, we grew up in the 70s. That decade of the 70s. Mm-hmm.
So, any particular guitarist? This is a loaded question. Is there any particular guitarist that You were inspired to play guitar, but was anyone in particular that, like, wow, I want to play like that, I want to learn that style of play? Or,
at that stage in my life, I was happy that I could play any type of guitar or imitate any of those artists, because there were so many great artists that were playing at the time. Somebody like Eddie Van Halen and Joe Perry, the guys from the Eagles, you know, or Glenn Frey or Joe Walsh. I mean, the list.
Ace Frehley was one of those.
Ace Frehley, I mean, you know, who couldn't forget Ace Frehley, all his lead and his solos that he would do. I mean, there were just so many great guitars. And when you say it's a loaded question, it really is, because there's so many different musical genres that we like. And we can pick a song and a particular guitar piece that we're like, wow, that guy just hit it.
Yeah. And that happened a lot. I mean, it's embarrassing to say, as kids we used to role play the members of Kiss. And
you know what? Before there was Rock Band, we were Rock Band. We did air guitar, air drums. I mean, that existed before all of this electronic stuff. We were already doing that as kids.
That's true. Well, so now, you know, you weren't ever in, like, a professional band and that kind of thing. You know, a lot of us, we play with people we know, you know, the kids in school and maybe some acquaintances afterwards and in work and that kind of thing, people we get to know. So you ended up playing with drummers, being a guitarist. So from your perspective, you know, every person is different as far as how they feel, how important they feel, their feel is towards the drummer. What about you personally?
Extremely important. I mean, drumming is timing, and timing is everything in music. I mean, some of the best songs that you've heard, or some of the best musicians, it's not necessarily the content or how much content you fill into a particular time slot. It's the quality of that content in that time slot. And you have to coordinate that, obviously, with the other members of the band. And the drummer, I mean, the drummer is what keeps you, the drummer and the bass, I mean, those are the two. If you notice, that those two are always, for some reason, you know, together.
Yeah.
And the guitarist is always watching them and saying, oh, let me keep up with them, making sure that, you know, my knees or my rhythms are in tune or in time with the drummer. And recently I've been playing a lot in Bogota, Colombia. And that's become even more, as I get older, that becomes more and more important. And I understand the value of having a drummer that knows what he's doing and he's keeping the time, because that's what keeps the music going.
It's interesting you mention that, because a band like Yes, for example, from my experience, when I listen to them and I hear a drummer like Alan White, who to me is a drummer who, he's very good, but he kind of steps back. He lays a foundation. And pretty much Steve Howe and whoever the guitarist, they pretty much do whatever they want, because they have a foundation that's there. So you as a guitarist, if you feel like the foundation is there, you know, drum and bass, then you're free to...
You actually learn to depend on that foundation. Once you have that foundation, you're expecting to have that foundation so that you can do or be as creative as you want, because you already have the foundation there. And you're counting that foundation is there and gives you the freedom to do what you want.
Okay, Chris, let's talk about your guitar collection a little bit. Like I mentioned previously, I'm going to put a bunch of pictures on the site when this interview is posted. But I'm always impressed that it seems like every time I come down to see you, there's a new guitar, there's a new story. You don't just buy a guitar. There's always something behind it. So,
that is so true.
You know, how is it that... you know, why so many?
Well, I like to compare it. I particularly, believe it or not, I have 6 kids and 2 grandsons. And you know what? They're all different. They all talk different. They all behave different. They're different. I got news for you. All my guitars are different. They all sound different. They're all made of different woods. They have different pickups. They might have different strings. Literally, I like to think that I have a guitar that covers, you know, all different types of music, at least sound-wise, or come close to imitating some of the different types of you know, very famous guitarists and the sounds that they have. I mean, you know, some people will use one guitar and, you know, they feel fine covering you know, many different musical styles. I just happen to like guitarists. I mean, I like seeing them. I like how they're all different. I like how they all sound different, and they all feel different. And that's something that I really enjoy doing as as a guitarist, and I'm at the stage where I can, you know, part of being a guitarist and having gear is being able to afford to have the gear. I've been fortunate enough to be able to afford and fiddle with different types of gear.
And let's talk a little bit about the gear, and we're going to get back to some of the guitar stories.
Sure.
Because there's some interesting ones.
Sure.
I saw that you have some gear, and there'll be pictures as well of that. How do you have a particular brand, or how do you kind of select your gear?
Well, you know, I do a lot of research. I'm not, although I have a major respect for all the major brands, like, you know, Gibson, Fender, PRS, Ibanez. I respect all those guitars, but I like to go a little bit beyond and be different, be a little bold. Maybe try a guitar make that not too many people are using, maybe modify that. I really hate modifying Gibsons and Fenders because, you know, obviously they have a particular sound that usually you buy one of those guitars because you want that particular sound.
Right.
Why change it? Why muck around with it? But if I buy a guitar that's not very well known but has good solid wood, has a good sound to begin with, that gives me the ability to fiddle with it and really redefine the tone and the characteristics of that guitar. And as a person that has a lot of guitars and collects them, I kind of like the ability to do that, to take a guitar and just change the character of it.
Yeah. So we're going to get into that. And there's one other thing I want to ask you about. What about the amplification and some of the effects that you use? You know,
sure.
Is there anything you want to mention about how you choose that, or what you look for when you get that kind of thing?
Well, I actually have various amps. I have a Blackstar, this new 40-watt HT Club Blackstar. I have a PV Viper, the tube version. I have a Bugera amp. And what I like about I have a new Fender Mustang, very nice amp also. What I like is they're all different. I mean, whatever sound I need to cover, whether guitar-wise or sound-wise, amplification-wise, I pretty much have it covered. And I personally like the flexibility that I can do that. I mean, I could just choose one particular amp and always play with that particular amp and really define my style. But unfortunately, I'm not that famous, so I kind of enjoy trying to tune in or tweak in the sounds for, you know, a song I may be playing or a particular artist or guitarist that I'm trying to imitate. Do I have my own sound? Yes, I do. I do, and I have a particular app that I like to use. But, you know, basically, I just like the ability to be able to cover all the different sounds and, you know, actually be able to cover all the different sounds.
That leads me to another point then. Now that you have your guitars and you have your amplifications and whatnot, when you're by yourself, now you're not with a band, how do you like to, not necessarily practice, but, you know, when you pick up a guitar, or when you go to your room and you look at what moves you to pick a particular guitar at that moment, like, you know,
sure.
Acoustic
that's
or
a good question. Actually, depends on the song that I feel like playing. I'll think of the song, I'll think of the artist, I'll think of the type of guitar he may use and the type of amp he may use, and that's how I pick which guitar I'm going to play and, you know, which amp I'm going to use. And the other thing we didn't talk about were pedals. You know, there's always this big debate whether I should use, you know, everybody should use individual pedals or all a pedal that, you know, multi-effects pedal. Well, you know what? I have both. So for those people that, you know, like one or the other, if you come to play with me, I got you covered. I have both. And again, it all depends on the song, the type of sound that I'm trying to dial in. You know, I don't have to worry anymore because I have both a multi-effects. Obviously, multi-effects for me, it's easier. You know, you pretty much have the tone or the sound already defined. You hit a, you know, a pedal and you're on. Or you hit a button and you're on. And the individuals, you know, there's more tweaking involved, but that's fun also. That has its place. And I like both, which is why I have both, depending on, you know, depending what mood I'm in that day.
Yeah. That's how it is with me, and when I sit behind the drum kit, I tend to be one that not necessarily practices rudiments. I do on occasion, but when I practice, I like to play to a song, because to me, it's just more fun, makes it more fun that way. If a song moves me, you know, either, I mean, like you said, when we grew up, you know, listening to Rush and Kiss, and I mean, I'm really into classic Genesis now, Phil Collins. not a practice to that kind of thing. And those songs include all of those things, the rudiments, the fills, and the creativity behind that. So
absolutely.
That's how I pick them as well. Absolutely. If I like the song, I play that.
And you know what? I'm not famous enough that I need to be defined by a particular sound. Nobody so far has said, hey, that's Chris Alvarado playing that song. That would be nice someday. We all strive for that. So I have the ability to really fiddle with a lot of equipment. I like fiddling with equipment. That's fun to me. It's fun to try different guitars, to try different amps, try different pedals, multi-effects, individual. That's something that I enjoy doing. And I've been very fortunate that I do have the ability to actually purchase this equipment and fiddle with it.
That's great, because it makes it interesting for me every time I come to see you.
Absolutely.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about the guitars themselves. Sure. I've made a big deal about the stories behind them. And, you know, yes, there are some that you've just bought just because it looked nice at the time. But like I mentioned, there are things that are behind them. Let's talk about this one that you have cradled in your arms right now. What's the deal with this one?
You know, before we start, I do want to give a shout out to my guitar tech friend, designer, luthier, however you want to call him. His name is Mitchell Weissman. He's been my partner in crime in putting together a lot of these unique guitars. Something as simple as this, one day we were just bored. We had different parts of different guitars, just a part here, a part there. He had some parts, I had some parts. I had some pickups that I really liked, and we slapped it together. And the outcome was just phenomenal. I mean, this is what I call my ugly duckling Strat wannabe. But this guitar, the sound is just phenomenal. I mean, I can get that anywhere from a Strat sound to a Tele chicken scratching tone from this guitar. And I took it with me to Colombia, and I met some famous musicians. And I remember playing in a club one day, and the musician said, hey, I'm going to be recording this week. Can I borrow that guitar? Mm. He's like, please, I want to borrow that guitar. I just love the tone. And I'm like, but it's not very pretty. And he's like, who cares? It sounds divine. I'm like, here you go, you can use it. So it's not always look, it's feel, it's sound, it's how the woods all come together, how the strings and the pickups, it's how it all comes together at the end and what sound you get out of it. And again, it's not a very attractive guitar, it's really not, but it just has a tone that's just attractive to a guitarist.
Is there anything like specifically that this guitar includes, maybe, I don't know, the way the pickups are arranged or the wood of the neck, or is anything?
It's just, you know, we were able to pull parts from different, just different manufacturers. For example, these pickups are from a company called GFS. A lot of, you know, guitarists might know who they are. Yes, they're not Seymour Duncan, they're not DiMaggio's, they're GFS's, but they happen to be phenomenal. And we kind of slapped these together, the dual rails, and we also put a coil tapping so that instead of in parallel, you can get them in series. So what this gives me the ability to do is have, I mean, like 9 different varieties of sounds. Instead of this being a 3 toggle switch, it's a 5. So 5, and then being able to split the pickups, I just the variation and sounds that I can get out of this guitar is just pretty unique. It sounds really cool.
If I'm lucky, I may get him to play a few chords on some of these so you can hear them. But we'll see how that goes. But that's a great story on that one.
So that's this one. And just what I like about my guitar collection is I actually have a story for each guitar.
Right.
It's just I just didn't go to a store and just buy it and say, okay, that's it. I usually tweak all my guitars. Except, like I said, if I buy a real Fender or a real Gibson, I'm leaving those alone. I'm just not touching them. Which is why I like to buy off-brand guitars that I can fiddle with. If I don't like the sound, I'll change the pickups. Don't like the strings, change the strings. Don't like the neck, I'll keep the body and maybe change the neck. You know, those are the things that you can do with an off-brand, least expensive guitar that you definitely, children at home, don't do that with a Gibson or a Fender because you're going to spend a lot of money. Unless you have the money, then knock yourself off.
Great. Let's go to the next guitar.
Okay. Let's talk about... This is...
Hold this one.
This is... for all you that are looking at this guitar, if you see, this has an actual Gibson 57 humbucker in the sound hole. It's like... This is a Yamaha. I believe is an APX 500, Yamaha APX 500, acoustic electric, and you're like, why the heck would you want to put a humbucker in the sound hall? Well, there's a reason for that. Talk about having different guitars for different musical sounds. There's a type of music from the Dominican Republic called bachata.
Yeah.
And bachata is it's a very old type of music. It's very like a Reinhardt.
Very organic acoustic.
Yeah, very almost gypsy like.
Yeah.
And the sound that they're playing now these days is obviously it's Electrify. And some brilliant guy, whoever it was, decided to put a Gibson 57 humbucker in the sound hole, and voila, it stuck. And almost anybody that plays bachata guitars, this is what they use. So I went to my guitar tech, Mitch. I said, Mitch, I want this sound. And I did my research, and I found out you take a Yamaha APX 500 and you put this in the sound hole, and that's how I got this guitar. So it started off as a Yamaha APX 500, and look what we have. We have a bachata guitar. So for all your bachata enthusiasts, yes, it's a Yamaha APX 500 with a Gibson 57 humbucker in the sound hole. So that's how I got this guitar.
Right.
So again, you ask why you have different guitars. Well,
yeah.
Obviously, I can if I take a regular electric acoustic guitar, I'm not going to get this particular sound that I need to get for that particular type of music. So thus the guitar has to be different.
Right. This story
I really like. I'm going to let Chris talk about it more.
Oh yeah, this is my cheapskate story. I could be a cheapskate. So I was reading, as you know, Rush is one of our favorite all-time bands. And, Alex Lifeson. I mean, he's just a phenomenal guitarist.
Sure.
I mean, he's just well-known.
I've seen him a few times.
and he started off with Gibsons. I remember he said he likes Gibson ES 335s. He started playing in the late 60s. And then somehow, he's used different guitars along the way. Not too long ago, everybody knows he was using PRSs. Now he's gone back to Gibson Les Pauls. But he did something very unique to a Gibson Les Paul. Is he had a Gibson Les Paul designed with a Floyd Rose on it. And not only a Floyd Rose, but I believe it has an acoustic, some type of an acoustic bridge also. I read the article, I saw the guitar, and I was like, wow, when I grow up, I'm going to have one of those. And then I looked at the price tag, and I said, well, it's going to take me a while to grow up. It's not, very economic, but, economical. But if you have the money, hey, go knock yourself out, go for it. It's a nice guitar.
Yeah.
So I said, how can I come as close as I can, under my means, to come up with a similar guitar? There happens to be a guitar that many might know. They're called Agiles. I have to give a shout out to their website, rondomusic.net. I have a lot of Agiles. Their guitars are made in Korea, but they're very, very good quality guitars. They have a good foundation. We're talking about foundation. They have the foundation that I like in order to customize. So I saw that they had a guitar that kind of sort of looks similar to the one Eric had. Alex Lifeson. And it's basically a mahogany body with a solid quarter-inch maple top. It's got an ebony fretboard. And it's got a Floyd. So I was like, wow, it's got the foundation. I need to get as close as I can to his guitar. And the only thing I did was change the pickups to have pickups that were more, it sounded more like what Alex's pickups might sound like, what I've heard. So again, I went to GFS pickups. I won't tell you which ones. But I did put in some GFS pickups in here, and this guitar just turned out to be phenomenal. I actually have had some musicians in South Florida try it, and they couldn't believe it. They're like, how much did you pay for that guitar? And they're like, I just bought a similar, actually I have one guy that said, I have one of the newer Alex Lifeson guitars, and he's like, he was just amazed when I told him the price. Actually, I think he wanted to beat me up, but I ran out really fast. You can get the sound that you want of a guitar and, within your means. So, it is possible to do. Yes, it's not a Gibson. Yes, it's not a Fender. Yes, it's not a PRS. It's none of that. But there's no reason why you can't have fun doing what you want to do within your means. And this is a perfect example of you can do what you want within your means and enjoy it. I mean, I put together something pretty unique. Yes, it's not a Gibson, it's not Alex's, guitar, but it's mine. And it sounds really good. It's as close as I'm going to get to it. Someday, yes, I might have the money and I will buy that guitar. But for now, it's this one, boys and girls.
Well, about this guitar, I believe it's a few thousand dollars, Alex Lifeson's guitar.
It's more than a few thousand dollars.
You don't have to give exact price, but is this a thousand, under a thousand?
You know what, under, I put it together for under $1,000. I mean, under $1,000.
So you can pretty much get the sound you want if you're willing to invest the time to
sure.
figure out, you know, maybe it's not just about playing the guitar now, it's actually getting to know, well, each component of the guitar,
Absolutely.
Be it acoustic or electric, and
Absolutely.
See how they work together.
It's a lot about, you know, you do your homework. I mean, it's like when you go shopping, say you're going to buy a car. You just don't go one day and say, I'm going to buy this car, and you go to a dealer and say, that's it, I'll take this one. No, you usually have done your homework before you get to the dealer. You know what type of car you want. You know what engine you want, what body style, even the interior, the motor. All those details you've already worked out in your head, and you already know what you want. Same thing with a guitar. There's no reason why you can't do your research, and thank God for the internet, because everything's at your fingertips
yeah.
and available, and
the
there's a wealth of information. I mean, sometimes I'm one that doesn't sleep very much, and it's probably because of the internet, because I'm always researching, who's doing what, when, how, and then how I can imitate it within my means. Again, there's some things that, yeah, I can, I can afford to do, and some things that, you know, I'd rather not afford to do it. But it's possible if you do your research, yeah, you know, you research, again, pickups, you know, what body style, type of woods, even the electronics, there's all these components, and yeah, you can say, hey, by the time you do that, you could have bought that guitar. No, not always. You can really put something together reasonably priced that you're really going to enjoy. And it's something that you did. It's yours. It's of your design, of your making. You can say, yes, I hope, you know, the reason this sounds this way is because I picked out the components to make it sound that way, and I tweaked it to get the sound that I wanted. Sometimes I put guitars together, and after I bought the pickups, and I tried it, I'm like, you know what? So that those pickups with this particular guitar doesn't work. And I'll rip them out and buy a new set of pickups. Of course, I'll sell those on eBay, but the ones I just pulled out. But
not totally.
Just to recoup, yeah, just to recoup some of the money. Again, thank God for eBay. Shout out to eBay also. And Craigslist. And you know, there's no reason. This is meant to be fun. At least for me, I'm not a professional musician. You know, I have a full-time job, and I do this for stress relief and for fun. I mean, I remember playing in some clubs recently in Colombia. They've asked me, you know, how much do we pay you? I'm like, pay? You want to pay me? And I'm like, I'm doing this just because I'm enjoying it. For me, it's stress relief from corporate America. So it's something that I enjoy. And again, there's no reason why. It's not that hard to actually put together or redesign. You know, you can take a guitar you have and just change the pickups, and you have a new guitar.
Yeah.
You can take a guitar and just change the type of strings that you use, and you have a new sounding guitar. So, you know, little nuances or little things like that you can do, and you can really enjoy or re-look into, you know, what it is that got you into music and the sounds that you want, and just have fun. Music is about having fun.
Absolutely. And in that vein, it's similar to a drummer who's starting off and getting to learn their equipment. Obviously, the readers of this website know. I mean, there's many things that go into the sound of a drum, be it, you know, the tuning of the heads, the type of shell, the size of the shell, the cymbals. You have the different metals in the cymbal, the sizes of the cymbals, even the stands that they're on, even the different type of sticks, and the way that you get to know your instrument is by fiddling.
Absolutely.
You get down in there, you learn how to tune it. You might be looking for the sound of your favorite artist, but probably by the time you get to where you want, it's more of a sound you like because you got into it. So with guitars, it's the same thing.
And absolutely correct. We had this discussion before we started the interview, and you're like, why so many guitars? And then we started talking about each one of my guitars, and we spoke about drumming. We're like, okay. You know, drumming is the same thing. There's so many different variables that you can tweak to get the different sounds. Same thing with guitar. There's so many different variables.
You have to get into it.
Though. You have to do your homework. You have to investigate. I mean, when it's a hobby, you actually have fun investigating. It's actually fun. It's not like going to school and I have to do the homework. I have a research paper. It's not like that. It's something that you enjoy, you do, and you take the time to do it, and you become quite fluent. And it's like learning a language. You become fluent in it.
Yeah. So you have all these guitars now. You probably may want to expand because you're always looking for something. Now, do you get surprised when you hear something and you say, well, I think I want a guitar that sounds like that? And maybe you start not maybe directly looking for a guitar, but you have your feelers out for when you might see something. Or when you're thinking about getting another guitar, what's your mindset with that?
When I decide to get another guitar, it has to be something, it has to cover a sound that I don't already have. It has to be something unique and say, wow, I don't have that sound covered.
Even with all of the effects and the amplification and
different... Yeah, even what's funny, I've come to the... I actually have 28 guitars, folks. I don't have any... I probably get a couple more if I had room to hang them up in my wall, but I actually don't. But I feel I'm to the point where I feel very comfortable with the guitars that I have. My wife hopes so also. With the amplifiers I have, with the effects, I mean, I have enough variation that I could spend a whole lifetime just fiddling with what I have now.
Yeah.
So if I decide to get another piece of gear, it has to bring something unique to my sound that I don't already have.
Is that getting harder to do?
Yeah, the more stuff you have, it becomes harder to do. Again, if you really want to peg certain sounds and certain songs and everything, you can say, well, I know that guitarist used a Les Paul with this type of amp, and this type of sound effect. Yeah, if I really wanted to get that detailed, then that would force me to buy that equipment. But I think with what I have right now, I have enough flexibility to get as close as I can get within reason. Again, when I play, they're not going to say, hey, that's Eddie Van Halen playing. It would be nice. Or Steve Howe, whoever, depending on the type of music, or Alex. Doesn't matter. I think I have enough variation. I can nail sounds pretty close.
Great. So, one other thing, and then we'll wrap it up. If someone's just starting out, they picked the guitar as their instrument.
Sure.
And they see someone like you who has a lot of guitars, they could get overwhelmed. Is this what it is? Or how do you make sure if, like, let's say it was a relative, a young, like my nephew or whatever, what advice would you give them to make sure that love for the guitar grows instead of maybe them getting discouraged afterwards?
Sure. I think, you have to do your homework a little bit. First, you have to figure out, what is it I'm trying to play? What kind of music? Obviously, you're not going to buy an electric guitar if you want to play classical music. So, it's like, do your homework. What type of music are you you enjoy playing? Because obviously you want to start playing an instrument and start playing music that means something to you. So if for example, all of a sudden you want to get maybe a Jimi Hendrix sound, well, don't get a Les Paul, or a Les Paul type guitar. Get a more of a Stratocaster type guitar. And you don't have to start with an expensive guitar. You can start off with an imitation. Once you get good enough, you'll know what you want to get, and you know which road you want to go down. The thing is, you have to start somewhere. So start... You can't measure something unless you have something to measure it against.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to start somewhere. So, unless you have a lot of money, then why spend all the money? Get something that comes close to imitating the sound that you want. And then from there, you'll start learning what type of guitar you want, with what type of pickups and what kind of amp you want. That'll start developing with your knowledge of what you're trying to do.
Would it help also to have guy like Mitch, your buddy, so someone
sure.
who knows about that kind of thing, like maybe the hardware side of it, although, I mean, he plays too, but the hardware side is like, oh, you know what, if you want to play like that, this is what I suggest.
Yeah, I've been very fortunate where I've had a good mentor, and this is the guy that helps me put together all these guitars. He's a luthier also, and he's been very instrumental sometimes I know what I want, and sometimes I can talk about what I want, I just don't know how to put it together. And speaking to Mitch, somebody like him that's very experienced, and he's done a lot of custom guitars for a lot of famous guitarists that are out there playing today, which names I can't tell you. If he interviews him, I'll let him say it. I'll let Mitch speak about that himself. He's good at listening to what sound I'm trying to, what I want from that guitar. What is it that I want? And he'll translate it into the physical aspect, which is, okay, we're going to use this guitar, this type of guitar with this type of pickups and this type of electronics. He's been instrumental. He's been a very good mentor. And it's good to have somebody, obviously, visit your music store,
right.
Just get with other people that are in love with the same thing you're in love with. And then you'll find commonalities and you'll learn from their experiences, they'll learn from yours, and you'll start growing as a musician. And again, this is something that you do for fun. So it's just, everything you do is for the love of the art. It'll be fun and second nature, and you'll learn. You'll learn.
Great. Well, Chris, I want to appreciate the time you spent talking about this. I know that was something that we've been wanting to do for a long time, actually, but since we're separated by a state or two, it makes it a little difficult. So
sometimes by more than a state or two, yeah. Maybe by a continent.
Yeah, exactly. So thanks very much, Chris.
Thank you very much.
We'll be doing it again, I'm sure. Yeah. And again,
not the plane.
Yeah. Thank you very much. It's Chris Alvarado, guitarist enthusiast, and we appreciate his time that he spent with us. And we hope it was interesting to you drummers out there too, because it's, some of us drummers may want to play guitar now as well. So to the drummers, I say keep on drumming, and also keep on strumming.